Ladies and gentlemen, we present The Navy Rock by Lawrie Wyman, and starring John Pertwee, Leslie Phillips, and Stephen Murray. The morning after the night before is always extremely amusing to everyone who wasn't with you the night before. They weren't there, so they can't know that in order to keep the party going, it was absolutely essential for you to cheer everybody up by reciting 15 verses of Eskimo Nell. The Chief Petty Officer Pertwee this morning is very definitely the one after the night before. But apart from the usual humiliations, he has one other panic. Why was everyone so insistent he should leave the ship and go to the party last night? What was going on aboard when he was out of the way? In short, what happened that Pertwee is absolutely certain that he ought to know about?
There's an old mill by the stream. Where we used to sit and dream.
A clobbering great fat roly-poly Johnson's in there, Nellie Dean.
How's your head, Chief?
Ooh, it's thick, Johnson. Ooh, it's very thick. And it's pulsating and moderate, but I'll live. I've just been working something out. I've got the distinct feeling that I was sent to that party because number one wanted me out of the way. There was something going on aboard this ship last night that number one didn't want me to know about.
Well, if you thought that, why did you go?
Well, I had no choice, did I? Bags of birds and booze don't grow on trees, mate.
No, I'd noticed that.
Anyway, won't take Pertwee long this morning to find out what was going on here last night.
This morning it won't matter if you do, Chief.
Oh, Mr. Murray, sir. Oh, with hearing like yours, sir, I don't know why they bothered to equip us with radar.
Well, I do know who to home on, as a rule. Did you enjoy your evening?
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir. Did you enjoy yours?
Oh, I wouldn't say enjoyed it. We were pretty busy, you know.
Busy doing what, sir?
This and that.
This and that, yes. Where, sir, were you doing this and that?
Here and there.
Was it here or there, sir, that you were doing this and that?
Both, really. On and off. Now and then.
Fascinating conversation, isn't it? We respect Mr. Murray, sir. If someone don't tell the chief what he missed last night, he'll go off pop and bang here and now.
Yes, you could be right. No, we just took on some special cargo, that's all.
Special cargo, sir?
Yes. It's locked in number 2 hold, so you needn't bother about it, chief. Well, carry on. You've got a lot to do.
Hey?
We sail at 0300. Glad you enjoyed your evening.
Oh, no, but, sir...
And don't bother to investigate number 2 hold. Apart from the normal bolts, it's also heavily padlocked. Good morning.
What's so flaming funny?
Number 1 knows how to get you going, doesn't he?
Yes, he's had a lot of practice.
Yeah, now and then. Here and there. Over this and that.
Oh, yeah. Belt up, Johnson. And look, this is serious.
Yeah.
Look, if he's had that old specially padlocked, it means one of 2 things.
Yeah.
It's either full of a lot of ooh nasty, the Pertwee would panic about if he knew it was there.
Yeah.
Or it's full of a load of ooh lovely, Pertwee would knock off if he could get at it. The question is, Johnson, which is it?
Oh, hello, Mr. Phillips. I shouldn't have thought you had time to sit around in the wardroom today.
Yes, well, the sun is over the yardarm, sir, so I thought I'd have my usual.
Oh, well, get one for me, will you?
Well, certainly, sir. 2 lemonade shandies, please, Stuart.
Oh, no, I don't want your usual, thank you. I'll make mine a horse's neck.
You've already got a horse's neck.
I most certainly have not.
It's odd, that. I've never noticed it before. It's sort of long and stretchy.
It's not long and stretchy. My neck's the same as any other horse's. I mean any other neck.
I've upset you, haven't I?
Sub-Lieutenant Phillips, may I suggest that instead of discussing my imaginary anatomical imperfections, you concentrate on plotting our course for this trip?
Oh, I've already done that, sir. Yes, dead simple.
Really?
Yes. As soon as we leave the dockyard, we turn left.
And what happens then?
You're just trying to confuse me, aren't you? I don't even know where we're going.
We're taking two passengers back to Tratvia, and we have to get there in time for the Tratvian Trade Festival.
Now you mention it, I can remember Captain Purvey saying something like that.
Oh, well done.
Thank you, sir.
Now, apart from transporting the two members of the Ambassador's party back to Tratvia, we also have this special cargo for the British exhibition stand at the Tratvian Trade Festival.
I remember him saying something about that as well, sir.
You're doing splendidly.
Yes, I am, aren't I? Yes, it was something about the British stand was to be the typical English pub, and we were to take the beer for it.
Exactly. Now you understand why I had to get Pertwee off the ship whilst we loaded it.
Rather.
Hello, wardroom here, number one speaking.
Starboard lookout here, sir. Leading seaman, and it's high time I was petty officer Goldstein chatting.
Oh. What is it now?
Well, I'm not quite sure, really. But there's a spraunsy-looking car approaching down the dockyard. And there's a Royal Marines band at the foot of our gangplank who looks as if they're about to blast off.
Oh, good gracious. Must be the British ambassador to Tratvia's party. I'll be right up.
Well, I would if I were you, because if my memory serves me correctly, and being Welsh, it probably does, I think it's the British ambassador himself in the car.
What? Yeah, I'm on my way. Oh, there you are, Chief. What's going on? Have they arrived yet?
I'm sure I wouldn't know, sir. Not having been told we're expecting anybody.
Oh, well,
Or what is stowed in number two hole.
Well, never mind that. Is the British ambassador's car in sight?
Just coming alongside now, sir.
British ambassador? British ambassador to where, sir?
Oh, Tratvia. But with any luck, it's not him personally, just two members of his party. We're taking them back there.
In case it makes any difference, sir, it is him personally. I can see him through the car window.
What? Sir Jeremy Crichton Buller? Mm. Quick, down the gangway. We must receive him when he gets out of his car.
Thank you very much, Bandmaster. I just assumed you'd played show me the way to go home, actually. Well, come on, Pettigrew, get out of the blasted car. Pettigrew?
Right beside you, sir. I got out the other side.
Well, let's get aboard this beastly boat thing, then.
It's a ship, sir.
Well, so long as the wretched thing stays afloat as far as Tratvia, I don't care if it's a rubber duck.
Welcome aboard HMS Troutbridge, Sir Jeremy.
Oh, thanks very much. What name did you say?
HMS Troutbridge, sir.
I've been sorted out, haven't I? They had to fit this ship to send us back in.
Well, really?
Is Porky Bell still commanding officer?
Commander Bell? Yes, sir. He's still with us.
Oh, come off it. Porky Bell hasn't been with anybody for years. Well, this is my first secretary, Henry Pettigrew.
Well, how do you do, Mr. Pettigrew?
How do you do?
Henry Pettigrew? Now, just a minute. Weren't you at the Cheadle Hulme Academy for the Sons of Gentlemen?
Incredibly enough, yes, I was.
I thought so. I knew we met before. You're Hot Lips Pettigrew.
Good heavens. Bunny Phillips.
Bunny?
Yes, we called him that because whenever he gets upset, his nose twitches like a rabbit.
My nose does not twitch.
It does, you know. It's twitching now.
It's not.
It is, you know.
It isn't.
Well, it's waggling.
My nose doesn't twitch or waggle.
You've been taking yogi lessons.
I have not.
Well, having worked with him, I don't have to ask why Mr. Pettigrew is called Hot Lips. Compared with him, Errol Flynn was an amateur.
How kind.
Shall I lead the way up the gangplank? Chief Petty Officer?
Sir?
VIP party coming aboard. Careful how you go, sir. If you place your feet at 45 degrees, it's a lot...
Hello,
being quite so bored, sir.
Oh, am I? Thanks very much. Now, if we could... Most kind. Now, if we could... On a round of applause.
Either that or a packet of bird seed.
Obviously it does.
Now, this is Chief Petty Officer Pertwee, sir, and I know exactly what he wants. He wants to know what's in number two hole.
In what?
It's where we stowed the beer for the British exhibit at the Trappian Trade Festival, actually.
Beer?
Hmm.
Did you say beer, sir?
Yes, well, of course, that's done it.
I knew it! I knew I was right! I knew it! I smelt the ox through the keyhole. Permission to mount guard on number two hole throughout the voyage, sir?
No, Chief. The guard is going to be mounted on this voyage. It's going to be over you.
No, but, sir...
That cargo is top secret.
I'll tell you one thing. If I hear just one chorus of Nellie Dean during this trip, I'll have a lot of you court-martialed. That wallop is to stock up the old English public house we're building for the Trappian Trade Festival.
What do you mean all that lovely beer is going to be drunk by a lot of foreigners?
If we can keep you out of number two hold, yes.
It's criminal. That's what it is, sir. It's pouring good British booze down foreign throats.
Hurt me.
It's a waste of luscious liquor, sir. 6 to 4, they don't even know the words of Nellie Dean.
We also hope they don't know the words of Eskimo Nell.
If I could show you to your quarters now, sir...
No, just a minute. I still don't understand what this is all about.
Now, there's a novelty. Would somebody explain it to him again?
Well, briefly, Bunny.
Yes, Hot Lips?
I'd like to learn to ignore that.
As the King of Trappia filled our aircraft up with temporary...
Royal office staff...
Pardon?
Royal Snog. The British ambassador and I are having to travel back to Trappia on your ship... His Majesty engaged 2 more ladies than even we expected.
And guess who had to give up their seats on the royal plane?
Exactly. It was so embarrassing to walk across London Airport and be told by the stewardess, that's the lot, there's another one right behind.
Particularly as there wasn't.
Right. However, we must be back in Trappia for the trade festival somehow. The British entry is a mock-up of an English pub.
Yes, sir. And we're carrying the beer to stock it up.
Why didn't anyone tell me this before?
Because if we had, you'd have accidentally told Pertwee even earlier. And number two hold would have been at least 40 gallons of wallop short already.
How well you know me, sir.
Right, Johnson. Now then, this shouldn't take us long.
I'm not going.
Of course you are. Now look, we've got the cowling off the air vent to number two hole, haven't we?
Yeah.
Now, I'm not on duty again for half an hour. So you've got 25 minutes to nip down the ventilation shaft into the hold and bring Pertwee back a gallon or two of wallop.
I'm not happy.
Well, once you get down this ventilation shaft and at that beer, you'll be completely hysterical. Now, come on. Come on, Johnson, come on. Down you go. And kindly remember that the first pint you draw off is Pertwee's.
I don't want to go. I'm not... Hard luck, mate. You've gone.
Here. You landed the right side up.
No, I'm stuck.
Hey, what?
Get me out.
How can I? You're halfway down.
No, I'm not. I'm halfway up. Get me out. Oh, dust. Dollops and dollops of dirty dust.
Never mind the dust. Keep wriggling.
I am wriggling. That's what's making the dust. I can't move. I'm stuck.
No, you're not. You're being obstinate. Now, look. Breathe in.
Oh, righto.
Now what?
I've got a mouthful of dust, dollop.
Well, eat what you can and wriggle on regardless.
No, it's no good. No good. I'll never...
Now where have you gone?
Head first into the top of a barrel. No, I'm not complaining.
Here, don't you Johnson, don't you dare breathe in until Pertwee's at his point.
Here, there's barrels and barrels of it down here.
Lovely. They'll never miss a few. Look, stand by for the rubber pipeline and I'll start pumping it out.
Oh, no, you won't. Not until Fratso knows how you're going to get him out of here.
That's simple. If you can't get out the way you got in, you'll have to stay down there.
Hey?
Well, it's only 5 days to trap for you, and I'll chuck you down a sardine sandwich every now and then.
Oh, thanks, buddy. You're a rotten, you are. A dirty, stinking, first-class, double-dealing, treble-charged, four-square, five-star rotten. If rotten's had a sixth sense, you'd have that too.
Johnson!
No, he wouldn't have come in!
Odd luck. After you've been at a crash start of sardine sandwiches for 5 days, you may just be able to squeeze back out in time.
Oh, hello, Chief. And greetings to you, leading seaman Gelstein, isn't it?
And yakida to you too, Padre.
Oh, so kind. I must say, this exhibit for the old country has been built very convincingly. A typical English public health. Now, have you stowed, I believe is the nautical term, stowed all the barrels of alcoholic refreshment in the duly appointed places?
Yes, sir. Jolly hard work it was, being short-handed, as you might say. Not having able Seaman Johnson to give us a man with the heaving and owing.
Ah, Johnson, yes. Such a willing lad. Ever ready to gird his loins and shoulder his burden. I visited him in the sick bay only this morning.
Oh, how is he, Padre?
Thin. Desperately thin. Desperately thin. He did send me a message for you, but I rather imagine it must have been in code.
Aye?
He was to tell you, with his compliments, that if ever you offer him so much as one more sardine sandwich, he'd shove it down your ghetto mush.
Shove it down me what?
Ghetto mush. I rather gather it's French for cake hole.
Well, I'm not surprised. When he squeezed out of that ventilation shaft, he looked like toothpaste coming out of a tube. And just about as white, too.
Oh, well, top.
Oh, certainly. In any case, I must be off, as I wish to journey forth unto the rest of the exhibition and take a quick butcher's all round. Butcher's all round.
If anyone was to ask me, which being Welsh they won't, of course, I think it's a crying shame about Fatso.
Well, don't worry about him, Taffy. He'll pick up on the return trip. You know, while he was down there, we pumped off enough spare wallet to last us all the way back to Pompey.
But how come nobody's noticed the empty barrels?
Well, because we filled them up again, of course.
What with?
Bilge water. Plus a tin or two of naval curfew to give it the right colour. Yeah, I must say it looked a bit cloudy and tasted like chocolate-coloured fish soup. So we bunged in a packet of yeast to give it a lift. Yeah, you never tell the difference now. Unless you actually drank it.
Suddenly, I'm not the slightest bit thirsty. Let's hope I can nick it up the right barrels for the opening ceremony.
Ah, you can't have gone wrong, Taffy. You can't have gone wrong. Fatso marked the dodgy ones with a big O-N in chalk. And we'll be 30 miles out to sea before they get down to the... What are you looking at me like that for?
Well, I know I'm only Welsh, but O-N to me spells on. So they're the barrels I used. They're the ones I put on.
Oh, you steaming great saucepan barking Welsh collie. No, Taffy, O-N doesn't spell on. It means ooh nasty. Come on, quick. We'll have to change him before... Hello, it's too late, Maria.
Right, gentlemen, this is the British exhibit.
It's old Thundercuts. How did he get here?
He flew out, Chief.
Stone me, Mr. Murray, sir. I always said you had radar ears.
I trust everything is all right, Chief.
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Marvellous, sir. Never better, sir. But don't drink the beer, sir.
And why not?
I have a distinct feeling that it hasn't travelled too well, sir.
I thought it might not have done. That's why I came out here. You see, Chief, if by any chance that beer hasn't travelled well,
There will be a sudden vacancy for a chief petty officer aboard HMS Troutbridge. Do I make myself clear?
Orribly clear, sir.
Good. In that case,
we'll have a pint each all round. Mr. Pettigrew, as our guest, perhaps you'll join me and Mr. Murray and Mr. Phillips in a flagon of ale.
Delighted. There's nothing I'd like better. Incidentally, Bunny.
Yes, Hot Lips.
Keep your twitchy nose out of the froth.
For the last time, my nose does not twitch.
Well, it will once it gets a sniff of this bruiser.
Yes, well now, gentlemen, let us raise our tankards and quaff the flowing bowl in a toast to the success of this most British of British offerings to Tratia.
Yeah, bottoms up.
How terribly, terribly rude.
Good health.
I can't watch this.
I can.
Oh, cheers.
Yes, yes. Well, cheers.
Cheers.
Time, gentlemen, please. Can I have your glasses, please? It's a long past time now. Staff have got to get home, you know.
I don't blame them, actually.
They've been poisoned. Is there an antidote in the house?
I doubt it. What do you suggest is the antidote for chocolate-flavored fish soup? Oh, there you all are, then. Now, allow me to present the Russian Minister of Culture, Comrade Madam Ninotchka, bloody, something or other. We've just been looking at the Russian entry. They've done a mock-up of the Kremlin in hardboard.
How enchanting.
Exactly. You can't beat the Russians for taste. Sip their vodka. That was ghastly.
It was sheep tear. And I understand from Ivan of the Soviet people's glorious petty officer, who has since been recently but suddenly shot, that the glorious people's one nip a week vodka didn't travel too well in our superior frigate.
Now, you can say that again. Tasted like chocolate-flavored fish soup. Still, I mean, accidents will happen. You'll feel better after you've had a good swig of English beer to take the taste.
No, perhaps the lady would prefer a gin and tonic, sir.
Yet, I desire a glass of genuine English capitalistic wallop.
Permission to go back aboard, Captain Povison. I'll put myself in chains, and there's no need for you to bother.
You stay right where you are, Pertwee, and serve the lady with a pint of ale.
Or would you rather be court-martialed now? Beer coming up, sir.
At last. I've been looking forward to this. Well, cheers, Madam Bloody, something or other.
And rear ends upwards to you too, old tripe and trotters.
Well, thanks very much.
Who brewed this rock cut?
I say, you can tell he's the British ambassador, can't you? He's gone red, white, and blue.
And in that order.
But look at her. She's downed a lot of it, hasn't touched her.
Pull me another pint. This English peasant drink is good. But suddenly I love everybody. Pull me another pint.
Stone me, it's that yeast. It must have fermented the muck.
Never mind what caused it. Give it a couple of gallons on us.
I wish to place an order for another 50,000 gallons for the delight of our glorious people's people.
What? 50,000 gallons of chocolate-flavored fish soup?
Why not? It tastes terrible. But the after effects are magnificent.
Captain Perry?
Yes, Ambassador.
I don't know where this hooch came from, but I want 50,000 gallons of the stuff shipped through the Iron Curtain as fast as you can get it there.
Yes, a swig or two of that round the Kremlin table, and they'll be doing a quick chorus of dear old pals and jolly old comrades.
Give them three and they'll be so high they'll be doing moon probes without the aid of a rocket.
But, Chief Petty Officer Pertwee, I don't know what happened, but I have a fair idea who did it. All I want to know now is, what exactly did you use to fill up those barrels?
Bilge, water, naval cuckoo, and a handful of yeast.
See? And then perhaps you'll tell me where I'm going to find a brewery that can supply 50,000 gallons of it.
Oh, you won't, sir. But once Johnson is fattened up for duty again, if you let us have the barrels, the cocoa, and the yeast, we've got the bilge water, and in a week or two we should
be able to... Now, do nothing of the sort. Are you seriously suggesting that I should...
Sir? I don't know what he wants, but if you want to avoid your court-martial, let him have it. This is an export order.
But it's bilge water!
We recognized it. We swim most of our lives up to our necks in it.
But just this once, we've got a chance to get rid of it and make a profit. So you muster all hands or whatever it is you do and start brewing for Britain.
Right. A pint of muck for Madame Bloody, whatever her name is, and large gins all round for the rest of us.
Yeah. Would you mind terribly if I had a horse's neck, sir?
Not if you don't.
Now you mention it, it is a bit long and stretchy, isn't it?
No, Hot Lips, it is not long and stretchy.
It is, you know.
Oh, shut up, twitchy nose.
My nose is not twitchy.
No, sir, it's waggling.
Your nose is just as long and stretchy as his horse's neck.
My nose's neck is not horsey, it twitchy.
Oh, for crying out loud, let's have some scotch instead before somebody finds something wrong with my anatomy.
Come to think of it, sir, you have got a terribly big...
Pour the drinks, Berkeley, quickly, pour the drinks!
John Pertwee, Leslie Phillips and Stephen Murray have been brewing their way up through The Navy Lark, written by Laurie Wyman. John Pertwee was the chief petty officer, Leslie Phillips was the sub-lieutenant, Stephen Murray was the number one. Captain Povey was played by Richard Caldicott, the Russian Minister of Culture was Heather Chasen, Taffy Goldstein was Tony Evans, the Padre was Michael Bates, and Able Seaman Johnson was Ronnie Barker. Our special guests were Sir Jeremy Crichton Buller, played by Derek Francis, and Henry Pettigrew, played by Frank Thornton. The show was produced by Alastair Scott Johnston.